Nicola, if you're ready.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so let's start. Good morning to everyone. I'm Nicola Nicasio from the ALIS Collaboration. In this contribution, we'll discuss some results on our studies on performing electron identification using a possibly eco-friendly gas mixture for the future barrel-rich detector at the LHC. So I will provide an outline on the specification of this detector. Then I will focus this possibility to achieve an A plus C minus identification enhancement using gas. And finally, I will show you some projections for the achievable reconstruction and physics performance. So this detector is in the context of this upgrade we are planning for our apparatus. So basically, the main goal of our collaboration is to address the dynamics of the strongly interacting matter produced in AV-ion collisions. But despite the huge planned physics program up to the end of run four, fundamental questions will remain open. Question demanding for excellent vertexing tracking, particle identification that now is out of reach, so demanding for a next generation experiment. This is what we call the ELIS-3 upgrade. Here you can see a schematic of the state-of-the-art detector concept with all its subsystems, and among them, for the identification of charged particles, we have a ring imaging Cherenkov detector covering the barrel region. This is the main focus of this presentation. Here you see also a schematic of the state-of-the-art concept for this barrel reach. So it's a proximity focusing reach using aerogel as a Cherenkov radiator, separated from by an expansion gap from a photosensitive surface equipped with silicon photomultipliers. And each of these modules is part of this projective geometry with modules oriented toward the nominal collision vertex and with the aerogel sides optimized to achieve full coverage to the impinging charged particles without overlaps. With such a baseline configuration, we are able to achieve some target particle identification requirements, among which the electron pion separation larger than 3 sigma up to 2 GeV. That is the baseline for this detector. However, some physics observables, including quarkonia, the electrons, would benefit a lot from extending these electron identification capabilities above 2 GeV, up to, let's say, 4 GeV or more in principle. And so there is a dedicated R&D line on this possibility. The strategy we are planning to adopt, without making any modification in the detector geometry, consists in filling the rich expansion gap, the rich vessel basically, with a proper gas with a target refractive index larger than this value to perform a Cherenkov threshold-based discrimination. So the idea is that electrons are above the threshold for Cherenkov emission. Actually, they're also at saturation at a very small moment, actually. And pions, muons, and heavier particles are below this threshold so that the identification of clusters from gas can be used to univocally label electrons. In this context, the refractive index is crucial for the mixture we plan to use because a low index like this one is good because it means high emission threshold for heavy particle species, but at the same time, a limited photon yield and cluster size. And from dedicated simulation studies, we see that the optimal refractive index we plan to achieve is of the order of 1.0006. So, how do we get it? Well, first of all, in order to address a proper mixture, we have to rule out some options such as saturated fluorocarbons like CF4, C4F10 that are commonly used in currently ring imaging Cherenkov systems, but feature very large global warming potential, thousands of times the one of CO2, and their production is also being discontinued. So they must certainly be avoided. And so, how do we get the target index? Well, as a backup option, we see that the lower possible index is achieved using CO2, but to get higher indices, we need to employ mixtures involving heavy gases. And the most promising option in terms of limited global warming potential consists in blending low molar concentration fluoroketones-like gases, like this C5F10O, with light gases like N2 or CO2, so to get the required optical performance, but with a global warming potential consistent or even smaller than the one of CO2. Making the mixture, of course, means monitoring the molar concentrations of these components, but this is something done already in the past, for instance, in the LSD detector for the Cherenkov ring imaging detector, using basically measuring the speed of sound in the mixture to monitor and adjust on the run the concentration of the components. But a criticality I would like to mention is the boiling point of gases like this C5 F10O, about 27 degrees compared with the CPM operation temperature that is of minus 40 degrees. So it is maybe not the final choice, and further studies on the optimization of this mixture and identifying a proper gas are of course still ongoing. Nevertheless, in the following, I would like to show you some projections on the expected physics performance, and to do so, I will assume the optical properties of these specific mixtures. So, starting from the features of the cluster we plan to observe, here you can see a simulation for electrons and basically pions at 3 GeV, where as a function of pseudorapidity, so to get the full acceptance of the barrel reach detector, and counting the mean number of fired CPMs in the two cases. So you can see that we have a pretty good signal strength with approximately 10 fired CPMs per electron cluster. This assuming the baseline photon detection efficiency of the CPMs. Then you see these structures corresponding one to each of the sectors of the apparatus. This mean number follows the thickness of the expansion gap we get in each of the projective sector of the system. Of course, the larger the gap, the larger the number of emitted photons and fired CPMs. And we just have some minor losses close to the sector boundaries, the points you see here, just because in this region, part of the cluster is simply lost. And to give a more detailed focus on the geometry of these clusters, first of all, one thing to take into account is that our system is embedded in a 2 Tesla superconducting solenoid, and this affects the shape of the cluster in our, and so the has an impact on the reconstruction algorithm we have to implement. Then, as you can see, for instance, at 3 GeV, we have clusters with a radius of the order of 8 millimeter around the expected impact point, with CPMs featuring more than one photoelectron in the first neighbor CPMs to the impact point, and single photoelectron signals in the nearby cells, of course, without accounting crosstalks and correlated noise in the CPM itself. On the right, you can see a map for the expected fraction of events with a minimum number of fired CPMs and a minimum number of total required photoelectrons convoluted in the full detector acceptance that is then crucial to define a proper strategy for cluster reconstruction and then identification and to evaluate the impact on the physics performance in the end. So here you can see a projection on the identification performance in physics events, in particular proton-proton, and then I will show lead-lead collisions. The main challenge in this context is rejecting the E plus E minus like signal due to the random clustering of background hits, where we have a pion to electron ratio that is of the order of hundreds. So we need a good rejection. For this study, I developed a dedicated machine learning algorithm based on extreme gradient boosting, taking as a feature the track parameters as well as the number of fired CPMs and the photoelectrons in 4 regions in azimuthal angle relative to the impinging track direction. And in the plots below, you can see the resulting purity and efficiency, in particular the red dots for electrons, as a function of momentum. And you can see that even accounting the CPM dark count rate, we're able to ensure excellent identification performance up to the muon and pion threshold in the gas. You see, these results look very promising, but are we happy about them? Actually, no, this is not the end of the story, because as I said, the main target of the LS3 physics is our lead-lead collisions. And in most central collisions, we have a track multiplicity and its multiplicity is so large that, of course, the reconstruction is much more complex. Contamination is very large, so this kind of reconstruction techniques has to be optimized even further. But as you can see, using this approach, even in this more complex situation, we're able to ensure a reconstruction purity and efficiency larger than 90% using this gas mixture in the whole momentum region of interest. So this is pretty good, but which is the impact on the physics? Well, here you can see, for instance, one of the physics cases we mentioned starting from our letter of intent dating back in 2022, where basically we want to prove the time evolution of the medium produced in the collision of nucleus, the quark coulomb plasma, and this is done by reconstructing the electron pairs as a function of reconstructed invariant mass and transverse momentum. So we need to achieve a result like this. This, of course, a simulation where we need to achieve excellent coverage in terms of MEE and PTEE exceeding the 3 GeV level. So this is considering only the baseline configuration, so using only the aerogel where no gas is included. So what I did was then evaluated the impact on the electron reconstruction efficiency, combining the gas option to the other identification subsystems foreseen for the ELIS3 apparatus. And as you can see, while in the baseline configuration, the reconstruction is limited to the region close to 3 GeV, with the including this threshold-based identification using gas, we're able to extend the identification range at 5 GeV and even higher. You can better appreciate this from the one-dimensional projection of previous plots for selected the electron pair transverse momentum values from 1 to 4 GeV, where, as you can see, not only we recover the region at large, the electron transverse momentum, but we're able to also to suppress background in the region and of course gaining efficiency in the region at small MEE simply because we have a cross-check with gas of the information on the aerogel. And so this is a double value. And in particular, as you can see from these plots, all these results show very good prospects for the whole ELIS3D electron physics program. So coming to the conclusion, I've shown how filling the barrel-rich expansion gap with a proper gas mixture is very promising to enhance the electrons ± identification capabilities consistently with the requirements for the ELIS3 physics. This can be done using an eco-friendly gas mixture by mixing heavy gases with likely fluorocations-like with lighter gases like N2 and CO2 with a limited global warming potential. And in the end, I've shown how very stable identification performance are achieved by keeping the same baseline geometry, the same silicon photomultiplier technology, and this from proton-proton collisions to the most challenging environment of central lead-lead. Our next steps in this respect are, first of all, more detailed studies on the final gas mixtures to be used if this kind of approach becomes a thing, because, of course, not only it has to provide the required optical properties in terms of refractive index, transmittance, and so on, but also have features like a boiling point consistent with the expected barrel-rich CPM operation temperature. And finally, we are planning to perform the direct measurement on beam in July and September, testing various gases, and again with the aim of finding a proper option, best option, or at least a compromise to get the required physics performance for consistently with the ELIS3 physics program. So this concludes my presentation. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you so much, Nicola. Any questions? Duane, I think that was the first hand.
A very interesting talk. But perhaps I missed something. I wasn't actually sort of understanding. So the aerogel and the gas are different, and the gas that you tested most of it has a refractive index of 1.006. What is the refractive index equivalent of the aerogel, and what's it made out of? Is it much better? Is it a similar thing to the gas? I didn't quite understand that.
Sorry, I didn't get the question. I mean, the average index, as I mentioned here, is in 1.006. This is the average weighted considering the whole molar concentration of the components. That is, in this case, for instance, obtained with the 1.003 of the N2 combined with what is about 1.00165 of the C5 F10O. So 1.006 is the index of the average in the end. I don't know
Yes,
if.
no, my point here is, sorry, just the conversation, because you said about aerogel, and I don't know where this is here, because this is just the gas mixture, right? So with your aerogel, what is the refractive index of that, or is that made of the same gases?
Sorry, I really missed the question.
On slide 13, you have using aerogel only and aerogel plus gas. And we've talked about the gas, but I was wanting to know a bit more about the aerogel. I don't know, so we know if it was about what the properties of that was or what it was made out
Sorry,
of.
I missed the word aerogel. No, the problem is that the aerogel is a refractive index of 1.03. So it would allow to separate, considering this geometry, this specification, to identify the electrons, the single electron, at a momentum value no larger than 2 GeV. Then, of course, you see values larger because then we have the electron invariance mass combining both the electron information. And what the gas does is simply to enhance this region, covering not only the region that is already covered by the aerogel, that then, of course, is crucial for hadrons and other species, but extending the identification capabilities up to 4 GeV and more. So this is the gain we have with the gas. So basically adding this 1.0006 to the one of the 0.03, that is the baseline for the aerogel. And that is, of course, fixed because was optimized for studies related to the identification of hadrons. That is crucial, again, for ELISTRE.
Thank you. I was just missing the refractive index of the aerogel.
Okay.
Thank you so much, then. Nicola, I think we can move on in the interest of time to our next.